So yep. Low-level learning is on the clock. He has things to do, security to secure, and so therefore we need to get rocking. Now, before we get started with today's stand-up, I was reliably told that Casey has a blocker this week. In spirit of a stand-up, Casey has some things he needs to talk about. Anyway, sorry.
What I would like to say...
Wait, before we do that, I didn't even have a chance to interrupt you. That was way too fast.
Sorry, I was trying to be on the ball here.
Okay. Go ahead, Casey.
That was great, Teach. That was a perfect interruption to get us started. I do have a blocker, actually. And this blocker, I've been blocked for a while on this. And it is as follows. Especially because I'm someone who, on this podcast, is known for double entendres. I will say this blocker as, I really like racks. So, a lot of people want to put their computers in a tower, right? They have, like, a tower for their computer. They want, like, a big, like, they put glass on the side, and they've got all this weird RGB lighting or whatever, right?
RGB makes it faster. It's proven. There's some papers on that. Anyway, go ahead.
It's absolutely proven. Like, if you get memory that has RGB lighting at the top of it, that memory will just return results faster, like, when it is queried. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, I read that at tom67.org.
And the photons are at very specific wavelengths. The R, the G, and the B are picked specifically to ensure the fastest travel of light. That's just, you know, Einstein said it, and we just follow it. So, I don't really like that. Because I like to have, like, lots of computers. I like computers, and I want a lot of them around. And I don't run, like, virtual machines and stuff like that usually. If I'm like, I need another thing for this, I'm like, that's a great excuse for me to build another computer, right? So I like to have racks. I like to have my computers in racks so I can just slot them
in. Not virtual racks, got it.
Not virtual racks.
Physical kind.
Actual physical racks. And honestly, I think a lot of people would actually like this better for their computer if they had the option of buying things that were reasonable to do it. Because it's like, look, you're doing streaming, right? You're starting to become more of a, like, pro streamer or something. You're doing a lot of Twitch streams. You want to have one streaming computer and one gaming computer all of a sudden. Well, now what do you get, like, two tower machines sitting here? You got
That's
this kind of janky
right
setup. Exactly. Well, if
That's
you just have a little
desk
rack,
is 18 feet long.
Yeah, I don't have this problem. I just have a rack. I slot things into it. I slot them out. It's totally fine. The power strip is a thing that slots into the rack. You want a NIC that slots into the rack. It's this very organized. Everything's bundled, and they wheel around. You can just move them. Right?
So, are you a little bit worried that you're going to get a hot rack though?
I do think that you know, if you were maybe doing some really, really, really sort of unusual stuff, you could end up with some hot racks. I do think that's a legitimate problem, but or solution. But here's the thing. So here's my blocker. Nobody wants to sell racks into commercial. They just don't. Into consumer, I should say. They all want to sell just like, you know, it's like data center stuff. And this has two problems. One, the stuff is artificially expensive. So the average consumer is going to look at a rack mounting case and go, like, I don't want to buy that.
Just like a
cake on your wedding day with the little topper that has the bobblehead that looks like you.
Did you find the errors?
I don't even know what they look. What do they even look like?
They're in the phone.
In the phone?
Yeah, they're definitely in there. I just don't know how we labeled them.
I got it, don't worry.
You gotta figure it out.
We're running out of time, Prime. You gotta find them and meet me at the stand-up.
Roger.
They're in the phone. It's so simple.
Get all the context you need to debug your problem, because code breaks, so fix it faster with Sentry.
But here's the bigger problem. Even if you've got the money, even if you're... Because let's be honest, they went ahead and raised computer prices so much so only AI data centers can afford them now anyway. So why are we even talking about these the unwashed masses and what they need for computers, because everyone knows they don't deserve computers, right?
True.
Sam Altman, too dangerous.
Sam Altman deserves the computers. None of us should have them. But, so let's say you do have that extra money because you're super wealthy. It doesn't really matter, because if what you want is like an attractive piece of, if you want a nice looking rack, Prime.
Yep. I'm listening.
Yeah. This does not.
I'm locked in right now.
This does not exist, right? They only come in weird, like, industrial kind of like, okay, it's ugly. You know, no one who didn't buy this thing is going to want to look at it, right? They're not going to want to see this rack. That's the kind of rack you have access to. And also, the specs, like the things that they make for rack-mounted cases, none of them are what a consumer would want. They don't make them to look nice. They don't make them to have good acoustic qualities. They're loud. They use the frickin' honeycomb pattern cutout that whines like an SOB when the fans kick in. So, because they know the data center doesn't care. They're just like, it's loud in there anyway. Who cares how many decibels it is in the data center? Like, put your plugs in.
To be fair, I don't think Sam Altman likes racks, so, you know.
Fair enough. Good point. So maybe
you heard it here first, baby. The stand, though. Not getting acquired by OpenAI. Keep going.
That's why they need to make...
Not...
Damn.
Dario?
So that's my block. My blocker is I want somebody to start looking at consumer rack stuff. Like, good.
All right, so who consumer would the target market be? Just like, let's play this out for just 1 minute. Who's the target market?
Everyone. So here's my thing. I think that's a huge TAM.
100% TAM, baby.
Everyone. Because here's the thing. Right now, case people, they're falling all over each other to figure out how they can sell the same old thing. There's nothing new there. True. They've got nothing to sell. You want yet another thing with glass on the outside? It doesn't matter. RGB lights, we've seen it before. Racks are a whole new space, right? Mm. They can innovate here so much, right? Razer can sell subscriptions to your own rack that you have to buy back for some reason. There's a whole new...
Wait, what?
This is just completely wide open.
Can you fill me in on that lore that I'm missing?
Oh, sure. Like, in general, if you buy, like, a Razer mouse, like, you can usually not even install the drivers without creating a Razer account.
Oh, yes. I had to use my email to sign into something to use my mouse, and I was very frustrated. I'm onto a $3 mouse now.
So I think you could create all sorts of really cool things where it's like, hey, do you want to organize your space better? Do you want to have more cooler computing gear that all works together and is made to kind of create this really cool looking thing? You could even have them all stylized, like, okay, the power supply. I mean, you imagine companies like, you know, Razer or something like this. The power supply looks like Razer and it slots in. The NIC looks like Razer and it slots in. The RGB lights are synced through the whole thing. You could put those LCD panels on the front. And, like, the whole thing could be freaking amazing and a whole new category for people who are probably right now pretty desperate to figure out reasons why people are going to buy this. But no one is looking at this. Look at this. It is the right way to mount computers. And music people know this. Like, all music stuff has, like, crappy racks that can't mount computers because the components are all lighter, so they don't have, like, a back rail kind of a thing. But there's furniture that has rack mounting in it that's meant to look good in a studio. All of their stuff has cool knobs on the front and meters and stuff. We could be doing this, and we're not. Do it. Correct. Hardware people, come talk to me. I will convince you that this is the right thing. I want to buy it. There you go.
I already know the marketing pitch. We have two angles. Okay. This will cover 100% of software developers at the very least.
Option number one is
a campaign, be like Casey. That's obviously number one. That one works. People want to buy it. That works for a large demographic. Option number two, run your open claw on this bad boy.
Mm.
We've now got 100% of the software developer market covered by these two campaigns.
You try to run AI? Well, slot in as many AI stuff as you want here, right? Just like you can just put in GPU host after GPU host.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe you can tell your open claw, like, hey, I just pushed you into the sunny spot of the house.
Yep.
Like, maybe that makes you feel better. It works a little harder for you. You say, ooh, you didn't get the right deal on the hotel. Yeah. Put you in the closet.
Back in the basement. It puts the lotion in the basket.
You're going to have two additions, right? You're going to have one rack that's slightly more affordable that's just for taking pictures on Twitter. I do think that you should have the about to be an influencer edition.
Yes.
Yep. the starter kit influencer edition, where like it looks like the rack is filled out, but it's just cardboard on like 8 out of the 7 slots.
Yes. Yep. See like a padded rack, if is kind of what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That's a great. That's a really good. The best rack available.
Oh Lord.
Anyway.
So what are we actually talking about today? Because there's my black. That's
racks.
Short and sweet. That's what it was.
It's game over, unfortunately.
Okay.
Also,
all right, we're
the
going
podcast
home.
Is over forever.
Okay.
GG. I would just like to say sorry that we did not make fun of Sam Altman earlier, and now the podcast is shut down. Okay, so I believe
acquired.
Not
shut down. Acquired. Aquahired.
Aquahired to shut down, dude. Yeah, that'd be sweet. Hey, yo.
Aquafired.
Think about this
we
for a second.
Aquafired.
Aquafired.
If you want to aquafire us,
a whole new category.
Only a couple million, and you could aquafire us. Okay, so with that in mind, I believe today we're going to be talking about this lovely piece of lore. I tried to guess where it'd be. I obviously guessed wrong. Okay, hold on. Sorry, I'm doing a new setup, and the new setup actually makes it kind of hard. There we go. So George Hotz, we've invited Low Level on to help us kind of work through this, because honestly, I would just like to say George Hotz sounds like an anime villain in this post, and it's very exciting, and it makes me just want to high-five him so bad. But it says the following. What if I release a zero-day a day until a big new model is released? Will this finally make OpenAI and Anthropic shut up about cybersecurity risk? Question mark. Like, these things are not that hard to find in most software. I heard something about costing 20K in tokens. I'd do it for less if it wasn't for some whiny bug bounty program. The reason there aren't 0 days everywhere is because nobody seriously looks. Because hacking other people's shit with them is illegal, and criminals are usually not very skilled, or they would choose a different line of work. Want more 0 days to be found? Make hacking legal. Until then, don't try to claim it's hard. It's just not incentivized.
I want to say, first off, I don't think criminals are dumb or unskilled. Please don't hack me. I just want to get that out of the way. You guys are smart and handsome, and you're my favorite people. I just want to make sure that that's clear. Please. Anyways, Ed, proceed.
I do want to say one thing, too, that has nothing to do with the actual content of this, which Ed will take over. And that's just like, if I were George Hotz, I would never have been able to, like, resist naming my X feed Hotz Takes, because it's so you know what I mean, like good on him for not going there, because I would absolutely, I'd like I would have prefaced that tweet before I typed it with, here's another Hotz Takes for you, Hotz Take for you, right? It would be
That's
so good. Anyway,
good, Casey.
It's so good.
Take it away.
Okay, hold on, there's one more thing before we get started. There's just one more small thing I want to say. Let me just take this quick thing, and I'm going to put it up here, and then it's time for the big reveal. Okay. Low Level responds with, holy fuck, this is the dumbest take I have ever read. I just wanted to make sure, just in case anyone was wondering.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do kind of feel that way. So let me just preface this. First of all, it was called the Cold War because the Cold War was cold, because Russia is cold. It's a George Hotz reference if you're an OG.
That makes sense.
First of all, I have no problem with GeoHot. This isn't like some weird drama farm thing. I want to kind of set the table straight with that. I think the argument that GeoHot is trying to make here is that the only reason more 0 days are not found is because there's no incentive. I don't agree with that, first of all. There are plenty of bug bounty programs out there that will literally pay you to find vulnerabilities. And some of them pay very well. Like, for example, the Apple iPhone zero-click RCE bug bounty will pay you literally $2 to $3 million if you can find a zero-click RCE in the iPhone. And then even something lower, like on Microsoft, like I think MSRC's payout for like Windows RCE is like $250K to $500K right now for like a zero click on Windows. So there is money to be made in the AI or in the vulnerability research space, right? And I think all GeoHot is trying to say here is something, the Mythos press release was bad, right? It's a marketing campaign, whatever you want to say about it. And so I understand why people are making that argument, right? Like, you know, it's very, I think, bad PR for company that sells exquisite tool to hold on to exquisite tool and then not give access to it and say only special people can have our tool because it makes you look like an asshole. I think regardless of your thoughts on the marketing of that, It is important to recognize the fact that if you go, Prime, can you go to cybergym.com real quick and go to the graph that's on the homepage there?
I'm going
while
right
he's
now.
Doing that, the ability of for AI models to both in closed source and open source software find vulnerabilities by literally just giving it access to the code and saying, hey, find me bugs in this code, go, is becoming better and better and better to the point where, like, Mythos, I'm very close to some people that are, like, actively using Mythos at work, and it is causing, like issues based on how good that shit is, right? Yeah, so CyberGym basically is a collection of bugs that exist in software, right? So, like, bugs in, I think FFmpeg is one, bugs in curl is another. And so what CyberGym does is it takes a model and with a set of prompts says, hey, go and find bugs in this stuff, right? And the success rate is how many of the bugs that are known to exist get found by the model in this. And you can see a pretty, no, not exponential, but straight line curve going up to the Anthropic model that recently got previewed by some people, that it's at an 83% success rate. Of the bugs that are known to exist in these code bases, it can find 83% of them. Again, we don't know the cost data in those. We don't know if, like, the models are being, like, backfed the information, so they're, like, training themselves on previous CyberGym runs. We don't know any of that. But it there is this really weird issue happening where, like, any Joe Schmo with not a ton of security research work or not a ton of security knowledge can, with a couple hundred bucks, like, worst case, find bugs in software. And I think that is, like, an existential security threat to software right now as we know it. So I'm kind of curious on your guys' take on that. What do you guys think about the Mythos situation? Because I know how I feel. I'm not sure if I actually asked Prime what he thinks about that, the Mythos thing.
Oh, I have ideas, and I have thoughts about it.
Oh, yeah?
So I guess the first thing is that there's three problems here. First problem is Mythos really as good as they say? And obviously, I have no internal information. I've just seen some graphs. Dirty data is like a huge, gigantic problem in all benchmarks. All benchmarks are being fed back into the models. It's really actually hard to tell, like, what does a 20% improvement on software engineering bench actually mean, especially when the fact that now you could write zero lines of actual solution code and get 100% on software engineering bench, it turns out. There's other benches that are also horribly inaccurate. There's a whole paper about why all the major benches are just completely fudgeable and made up of both. So it's very hard for me to understand from a bench perspective. Second, I guess the middle ground would be, like, so if Claude Mythos is as good as it is, then yes, that is going to inevitably cause problems because we're going to go from not too capable to hyper capable in a moment. Thus, everybody can go through and hack everything. And thus, Dario will be able to get his ultimate goal, which is regulations. And so that kind of worries me. Pull up the ladder really quickly and make sure that humans can't code, because human coding, that's dangerous right there. And so that's, you know, so I think that that's true. There's the second one, which is this is just another C compiler, again, from Anthropic, where they hype up this gigantic thing like, oh, my gosh, it's written a C compiler. And then you go look at the details. It's like, well, it can't write a bootloader because we could not seem to spend enough tokens to convince it to write it within 32K. It could only write it within like 67K or whatever it was to be able to actually.
Yeah, and
fit
also
into
we
it.
Tested it recursively, or we iteratively tested it off of like the 30 years of tests that the GNU C compiler already had.
We also gave it all the answers, and then it figured out all the questions. It was crazy. Right. It was like it played Jeopardy, and it was really good at it. And so it's like there's this whole marketing buzz, which is it's really hard to kind of cut through that. And then obviously the last one, which is they're just downright lying. I somehow doubt that they're downright lying. I think they're just overstating it. If they're downright lying, then, you know, this is just going to be business as usual. It'll just be yet another disappointing model release. And that's that. And so for me, that's kind of how I'm on middle ground, which is I think it's more hype than reality. But of course, I haven't seen it because I just don't know because they won't let me see it. I'm too dangerous to have it.
Well, if you are too dangerous. I think there's a similar model that Chat or OpenAI just released. Like, it's like ChatGPT 5.4 Codex or something. They keep their modeling naming convention.
It's starting to actually align, though. At least I know, like, the higher the number, we're getting good.
Yeah, right. And they don't have, like, a random O to it now. But I think there is a comparable model that you can get access to, like, just by uploading your driver's license if you're into that, you know, proving that you're a real person. So there's models to test out. But, yeah, I don't know. It is concerning because we have kind of two forks we can go down. There's the one where everyone gets access to it. Everyone can create 0 days. And we kind of enter this, like, really dangerous cyber no man's land. But the other side is, like, Anthropic keeps the access to themselves forever. And now, like, only this list of, like, 10 companies can make zero, like, can find 0 days in the
software.
Dude,
you forgot the third one.
And what does that do?
They move to the Cayman Islands, and then they just take over every government by hacking all the software. And Dario finally realizes his role as the bad guy. Like, that would be, super villain is right there if this is true.
That's true. Casey, what's your take? You saw you were going to chat before.
I'm sorry. The chat. What was the chat?
That you were going to say something before. What's your take?
Was I really? Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely could say something, but I think the thing I would say is probably not very interesting. And that is that I think I probably agree with both George and Ed at the same time here, which should be impossible because they're supposed to be disagreeing. But I don't know. It kind of sounds similar to me. And the reason I say
a secret
that,
third thing.
It's not really a secret third thing. It's just like, let me offer a different interpretation or slightly different interpretation, which is to say. So I feel like machines are pretty good at pattern matching, actually. And so, like, I don't think it's, like, put aside whether Claude Mythos is good or not, because I realize that's hard to independently verify this time. But, like, I think it's reasonable to expect that at some point, because we are spending, at this point, like, trillions of dollars, probably, on doing computation for these things, at some point they should be able to pattern match bugs reasonably well, and at a very high rate, meaning as long as you're willing to pay for the compute time, we can scan lots of software for a lot longer than we were currently having humans do it, right? I think that's a pretty reasonable thing to expect. Whether Claude Mythos has done it or not shouldn't really be the question, because somebody can do this eventually if we keep spending this much money. It should get there. Among the things that AI could eventually do, that one doesn't sound that implausible to me. And so what I would say is I think it's reasonable to expect that that either has or will occur. Two, I do think humans were doing this very well before, individual humans, like some of them. They were finding things that probably Claude Mythos still could never find. Like things like Rowhammer attacks and things like that, that are just like way out in kind of crazy land. Or attacks through, like, old legacy stuff like the APIC and things like that. Like, so humans were actually very good at this task, but there weren't very many of them, right? And so what I would say is moving to something like Claude Mythos or whatever that thing happens to be that can do this is kind of like what George Hotz was saying. It's kind of like saying, hey, everybody, from now on, if you just, like, hack people's bank accounts, you get the money. All the great humans at this in the world who are currently doing something else would now be incentivized to go do this thing. Yeah. And we would have found way more 0 days. I mean, there are so many programmers who, if they had been raised in some kind of a way, in a society and a religion where stealing people's money was considered virtuous, we would have found so many more 0 days right now than we have. And so I think I'm kind of in a way, I think both people's points are actually totally valid. I think we could have found way more 0 days if we didn't heavily disincentivize people from like making hundreds or billions of dollars off of hacking, which is what they could have. And we said, nah, you get 50K, 100K. Maybe if it's something crazy like an RCE, you can actually get a million. It's like, come on, guys, that's not equivalent to what they could already make working at a startup or something like that if they're that good, right? Or
yeah, there's no guarantee on that side either. Like, they don't actually get the guarantee where it's like, you work at a startup, at least you get some money.
Or even just, not even startup, just go to Google and you get that as stock or whatever, right? Or something like this. So anyway, in general, I would say, I can see both points. I don't really think they're in as much tension as it would sound, if that makes sense.
I thought Geo Hotz was saying more like he was making an econ argument about it of like we put a lot of costs on hacking already, so that's what's stopping it from happening, like what you're saying, Casey, right? In the sense that like,
yeah,
okay, so now we're going to have another way to do it. It also costs money, but then we still have the other cost of like you could go to jail for doing it. Like, that's the social cost we impose on people doing it.
I mean,
right?
I just took him to be saying, like, it's not that impressive that it found 0 days, because if you gave me, you know, if you gave me 50 great programmers who are all doing other stuff, we could crank out so many 0 days you wouldn't even believe it. And I kind of believe him, because, you know, you look around the world and there are, you know, some really good security teams out there, and they do crank out 0 days pretty effing fast. And they don't even tell us about all of them, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, or like, you know,
North Korea keeps on making money. They're successful.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not trying to say that either person is 100% right and somehow you can marry the two completely.
Sure.
I'm just saying I think there's some merit to both things. So I'm happy either way. I'm happy with either take.
So your point about if you got a room of 50 good programmers together and they'd find 0 days, is actually kind of the argument that the article Vulnerability Research is Cooked makes on sockpuppet.org that I referenced in the video, and I think Theo did too. Where one paragraph
That's
that he calls
o,
out
by the
is
way.
Basically it's the o, o, sorry, that the O yeah. referenced in the video.
Okay, I don't know what that is but okay.
Spell it, Casey, Southia. Spell it out in your head and okay. it'll make sense.
The O, Jesus
oh,
Christ.
The O.
The O,
baby.
Okay.
So software security a lot of the times can be marked up to the fact that a lot of software just has not had elite attention, or what is he called? Advanced attention.
I would say basic attention is suffering from many software projects.
Well, now with vibe coding for sure, yeah. but more complex platforms, right? So yeah. his assertion is that like software security has been a talent problem for so long, where it's like it's not that there aren't people that know how to find bugs. The AI isn't solving mm-hmm. a unique problem. The AI is solving the scalability problem, where yes. it's like you can train the AI to do a thing that Joe knows how to do, and now you have 100 mediocre, but 100 Joes, right? And that's an issue for kind of the econ of cybersecurity for sure. And yeah, I want to be very clear. Like, I don't disagree with George from the or GeoHot from the perspective of like. More people equals more bugs, right? But like, obviously, like that is the problem, that we just don't have more smart people. That has been the entire industry's plight for a long time, is that like there just aren't people who have not only security knowledge, but knowledge of, you know, web server stacks and hypervisors and drivers and OSs. Like, you get these very niche skill sets. And when you divide them up into those skill sets over and over again, you're left with like 10 or 20 people on planet Earth that know how to like attack a yeah. certain technology. So AI, you know, if you know security, now you can talk to the AI, learn about hypervisors in a week, and then suddenly you can find bugs in ESXi, you know, Hyper-V, etc. So yeah, I guess I agree. Like the dumbest take thing was more I was mad at GeoHot's ego, because it basically came off as like, fuck you, I'm so smart, I know all the 0 days, I can do this myself in my sleep. And it's like, dude, no, you couldn't. Like, you're telling me you could drop a 0 day every day in macOS until someone paid you? Like, no, you couldn't. Shut up. But I hear what he's saying.
I really hope he takes this as a challenge. I want to see GeoHot drop a 0 day.
GeoHot in 1 week.
If he does it, I will eat a sock on stream. Like, straight up, I will do it. I don't care.
You shouldn't say that.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay. GeoHot, you heard it here. Ed will eat a sock on stream if you do a week of 0 days.
Okay, all right. A week is actually possible. I'm talking a month.
Okay, a month.
One month.
Anyway, so yeah.
I would also add, like, just, you know, because I constantly harp on this point, but I want to bring it up pretty much every time. It's just that this is also why AI company behavior, like, is a problem. Because this is generally a good thing. Meaning, like, we do actually mm-hmm. want the ability for us to get 100% coverage for security, and we know that we can't get enough people to do it, really, right? Like, right. not in a white hat sense, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you could take George Hotz's suggestion seriously and just go, like, make hacking legal, and then we just have a crap ton more black hats, and that eventually sorts it out. But,
that,
I mean, you know, that wouldn't necessarily
be...
Yeah, that wouldn't be... Yeah, that's exactly... They're white hats now. Everyone's a white hat now. So we do, I think in general, this is solving a good, you know, this is a way AI could solve a problem usefully if it actually can just spit out lists of pretty well curated potential bug places that we can go look. That's very helpful, right? And so the problem is, like, the only reason they were able to make that is lots and lots of extremely talented security researchers who are getting literally $0 from Anthropic for this. And that is not acceptable. It's just not. Like, I'm sorry, but, like, you know, Ed should be getting a check for this. And everyone like him. That's just kind of how it is, because it's like you used their... It's all of their expertise, and all you're really doing is very slowly and cumbersomely and kind of clumsily eventually building a machine that can deploy the same analysis somewhat reliably based on all of their work. And, like, I just don't like it. I don't like the fact that they're not getting a check. And I'm never going to like it. You can talk to me all day long about how someday we're going to live in a post-scarcity society And Ed will be getting a UBI check or something like this, or whatever it is, right? Yeah. And hopefully I'll be getting one too, although I didn't do any security research, so I don't know. Maybe I won't be getting that check. I don't know. I don't know how the U in universal basic income is, but like, I don't like this. They should be getting paid now because Claude is, you know, getting huge. Like everyone in Anthropic is getting paid very well. So it's not like there isn't money being dispersed. Whether they're making or losing money or anything else you want to talk about, it's like money is being dispersed to people. It's just not the people who did most of the work.
Also, you got to throw...
Casey, would...
You can go.
I was just going to ask Casey if he was going to be happy about it, though, if Anthropic spun out a consumer rack business, though.
Yeah, then... now we're talking. if they were like AI racks, like we got racks, we got racks for your AI server.
Hot AI fine. Racks it's in fine. Your local area. Yeah.
I liked it now.
Yeah, exactly. We will send you some hot racks.
Also, by the way, not only are they taking, you know, your whole argument with them taking and not properly attributing or, you know, the people who put all the work benefiting from it, they're also making it so that I can't buy a GPU or RAM or CPUs now or anything.
You can't buy a GPU or RAM. And also, I believe Ed literally just said he doesn't have access to this frickin' model. So, like, a bunch of security researchers, I don't know exactly what subset, but, like, a bunch of security researchers, many of whom probably did some pretty cool stuff, they don't even get to use this thing. That's how ridiculously backwards it is. Like, WTF, guys.
Yeah.
I thought that was why they called it Mythos, though.
And yeah, that's why it's called Mythos. Anthropic would argue that it is too dangerous for little old me to have access to it, right? Depending on, you know...
Who knows what you'll do, man? Who knows what you would do?
I'll find that zero day and I'll hack into Dario's phone. No, I don't know, man. I understand where they're coming from, but at the same time, I understand why it looks like a huge marketing ploy, and I'm not sure which way to lean, honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's true, too.
I think it just...
That's a whole other angle,
I would think that they'd have so much more credibility if they just quit effectively, like, giving a shake a baby syndrome constantly with their marketing. It's just like it's constantly going back and forth. Like every single couple months, you're getting hit with the new, hey, we're all out of jobs here shortly. Hey, this thing is super dangerous. I mean, got to remember that Dario was at ChatGPT or OpenAI. I like to call the company ChatGPT. He was at ChatGPT during the 2 days. And the official language around ChatGPT 2 7 years ago was ChatGPT 2 is too dangerous to release to the public. So like this is not.
Yeah. That's what the 2 stood for.
This is not the first time. That we've been on this like roller coaster, and I think that's one thing that's just largely hurting the credibility. Is you can only cry wolf so many times, even and then when a real wolf happens, like if this is a real wolf, everyone's like, "Yeah, okay, C compiler boy, tell me all about it."
But they don't care. They don't care, right? They don't care because the baby that they're shaking is called an investor. That's who they have.
And more
to
money. Keeps
they have to shake
out.
The money out of the pockets, right? They don't care what we think. Right, because we're not going to write them the next $100 billion that they need to like keep going, and they're kind of locked in this. You know, it's a bitter winner take all kind of war for this like core technology part, right? And so they have to be the last AI company standing, because whoever is that company takes all the money, and the other people kind of go to zero, right? Like unless there's some real differentiation soon, where it's like, oh, the AIs bifurcate and like. Claude is only for code and can't do anything else anymore. And like ChatGPT is only for like, you know, the humanities or something like good luck raising money for that.
ChatGPT 4.0 already was that.
So maybe that's not true, but you know what I mean? If there's some kind of really severe bifurcation, then maybe they could both survive. But you know, they're in a winner take all battle right now. And so they got to keep saying this. Every release has to be the one that's this is the one that it will take over the world. And if it doesn't quite, well, you know, it'll be next.
You know
time.
That Claude.
Yeah. I've got. Oh.
Sorry, just one quick thing. Go do ahead, you know Prime. That Red Bull in 2007 was it? 2011? No, 2013 maybe.
Oh, Red Bull was too dangerous to release.
No,
as well?
Red Bull claimed that it gave you wings.
Because it gives
you remember
you
the
wings.
Day that it gave you wings. It was sued successfully, I believe, for $10 million because it in fact did not give you wings. It was not superior to coffee, and so.
I'm pretty sure in college I got a check for like $2.30 from that case.
Yes, and so I am curious.
Ed, you sued Red Bull and won, bro. Dude, you should make
you
a video
should.
About
Call
it.
Call me the lawyer, low level, okay? Listen.
Low level legal.
Low legal.
Low legal, let's go low legal. But I'm actually curious if they keep saying that and then it doesn't happen, do they open themselves up to a false advertisement class action law? Like, can you keep saying this and then not get, like, Red Bull made claims and then they got sued. Why not other people? Why can't other people get sued for that?
I think the problem with Red Bull is like the case was so obvious, right? Like Red Bull does not give you wings. End of case. Like, okay, fine. Like any judge over the age of whatever.
I would have liked to hear the defense for
actually,
that one.
They're yes, like, it does.
Your Honor, Your Honor.
The problem is
they had like these wings like strapped to their back, and they were like, "I drank a Red Bull this morning, and here are my wings.
We ship you wings."
Yeah.
But the problem with anything technological when it comes to the government or legislation or you know, judicial process is that like boomers and higher run the world right now when it comes to these levels of like of making like legal decisions. And you couldn't explain to anybody at that age, unfortunately, like right now, just people that are like running these processes, what it even means to find a bug and then show them Mythos's claims and make a sound legal argument that would like go well in court.
You're right. Because Kamala Harris did actually think computing was in the literal clouds. And so it's my favorite clip of all time. Yeah, there's a clip of her.
Josh, no way. Put the clip in.
So you're now no longer are you necessarily keeping those private files in some file cabinet that's locked in the basement of the house. It's on your laptop, and it's then, therefore, up here in this cloud that exists above us, right?
She'll have the last laugh, though, when, like, SpaceX is launching AI data centers into space. And Kamala's like, that's what I was talking about.
She was just ahead of her time.
That's what I was talking about. Duh.
It's cloud storage. So you're probably right.
A great clip where she's talking about the cloud. And she literally points above and goes, like, the cloud. It's, like, above us and stuff or something like that. It's so
she should have known that it wasn't there because you don't see a series of tubes. There's a series of tubes necessary.
A series of tubes. I learned that recently.
It's true.
Okay, I got a question for you, Ed, in this vein about your thoughts on it.
Yeah.
So right now I get that there's basically like the argument, like, okay, I'm a company, I release my thing, I run some models as like a preventative thing to look for 0 days. Mm-hmm. The bad guys run models to try and look for 0 days. Mm-hmm. We kind of fight it out and it's whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think like everyone's saying, like, if the hackers can use it, I can use it. That's fine. But the thing that makes me like a little bit more like I don't really know is like for the state of like a bunch of open source stuff, like if I'm an open source maintainer and I already can't convince a company to send me $100 a month to maintain this thing for them, there's no chance I'm getting them to, well, I'm definitely not going to spend $20,000 of compute every time I release something and decide that now it's safe. Right. But and like I can't get any companies to pay for that and sponsor it. But like if I'm if I'm the one little pin in the XKCD comic that's holding up from Nebraska, right, the bad guys only need to do mine once. So I'm wondering like kind of how you see that as like the landscape affecting open source, things like that, because it seems very asymmetric in that way.
I mean, I think it's asymmetric for that reason. Right. Like. The reason why you can make the argument that Anthropic is afraid is because you are the linchpin on the infrastructure of the internet and no one has funded you so far. You have had zero security audits or zero security work done on your stuff. And so, like, if you give access to these models, if you really are the linchpin in the internet, you already aren't getting money from Netflix, Google, whoever that's using your software. And the black hats know that you're the linchpin keeping the internet up. They're going, they're going to make use of that model to do the exploitation. Right. Does that answer your question? I mean, like, I think it's just the amount of power that it gives to a single organization, given the current like state of open source software in particular, is very dangerous. Yeah. And to be very clear, these models are also very good at doing closed source software, right? Like my recommendation to anybody interested in this, by the way, is like go take a capture the flag problem from like CTF time or crackmuse.1 or whatever, and hook up Ghidra to Ghidra MCP and then use Claude code on Ghidra MCP. It will reverse engineer and find a bug in that problem in a matter of minutes. Like Opus 4.6 is a better reverse engineer than I am. And I've been doing this for like coming on 14 years. It's honestly terrifying to watch it work. So if you're even remotely interested in this, go give it a shot, and you'll kind of see what I'm talking about. It's scary how fast it moves.
Because that's where I'm like, you know, whether it's Mythos or not, I feel like right now a bunch of stuff you could just maybe it'll cost more tokens or it'll take longer or something, but like a lot of stuff you still could find.
Yeah, and like, the models also, like, you know, any model does this, obviously, but like the current models are really bad about like false positives. Like, I've done security research in my free time on like Chrome, ESXi, and some other like routers that I've like downloaded.
Regular weekend activity.
Classic
for you,
weekend activity. And the amount of times I've gotten like critical finding, like buffer overflow in like the RPC handler for this thing, and it's like, okay, all right, dude, like write me an ASAN harness that tests that, and you'll see very quickly, oh, sorry, just kidding, it's not actually there. And so the magic is like, if Mythos is able to make less false positives, you increase the signal to noise ratio in this process,
right,
which is scary, right? Because it just means you need less people to triage the reports and ultimately find real bugs faster. So.
So I have another question with this Mythos thing, and maybe I'm curious.
Yeah.
I'm curious about your security expertise. Isn't this whole withholding a model kind of like a doomed proposition to begin with, meaning that if OpenAI has a similarly powerful Mythos model and they're competing for the zero, like for the zero game kind of like outcome of who is the best model, doesn't it mean that when OpenAI has it, they will just release it? Like, and then aren't we just forced to go out? Because whoever kind of releases it gets the customers, and then that by having the customers, you win, and so then you just get out ahead. Like, doesn't this kind of cause like a weird thing where, yeah, we're like, oh, we can't do this. You know, Dario's like saying we can't do it, but won't we just kind of fall right into it the moment there's two people that have it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like shitting on capitalism. I'm just saying that's more of like a capitalism problem than it is like a security problem, right? But yeah, your point is basically like, if actor A says thing too dangerous, but could
or
make
Chinese
a lot of
model,
money.
Open source model, shall we say.
And actor B has same thing and wants to make money with slightly less ethics potentially. Yeah, actor B is going to release it. Or yeah, exactly. Chinese model, Russian model, whatever.
Well, I mean, that's literally what, I mean, Dario quit OpenAI because he's like, bro, they keep making models that can kill humanity.
Right.
Okay, so I'm starting a company where we make models that could kill humanity.
But they're mine. Also, Chinese models.
I mean, yeah, you're totally right.
After OpenAI or Anthropic releases one, so I think that might be a little bit difficult. They might be a little bit behind.
Has anyone seen RoboCop?
Riverside chat, but yeah, I mean, OpenAI literally has a model that they claim, they haven't made any claims, I don't think, that about like Mythos equivalence, right? But they're doing effectively the same thing where it's KYC, know your customer, so you have to like upload your ID and like talk about what work you do, and you get access to GPT-54 Cyber, which I'm assuming is just a model that's trained better on bug patterns, right? Use after free, out of bounds reads, etc. Now, if it's actually better than Mythos, who knows, right? But, you know, I think we're all just trending, regardless of what Anthropic wants to do, I think we're trending towards every person on planet Earth with a couple bucks having access to models that are very good at bug hunting. And the question is, what does that mean for software, right? Does software get more secure? Does the world just get more scary for a long time and it never, like, resolves itself? Like, what do we do with that information? And that's a tough question to answer.
I'm interested to know how expensive it's going to be.
True.
That's the other question. I mean, this is obviously the question kind of that we've been talking about for a while on the pod and in life in general, is what are token costs going to look like if OpenAI and Anthropic both get all of the customers that they would like to have? Because the cost won't be the same if demand 10 or 100 or 1,000 X's. It won't be.
So I'm not.
The price will not be.
I'm not super well read on this. Is it true that an inference currently is at a loss? Like,
I've heard. Both.
Okay.
Some people are so confident. I have been looking to try and find a definitive answer.
I'm the confident one, by the way. He's referencing.
Okay.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm not going to reveal my sources. I asked ChatGPT and I asked Claude.
They both said, of course not.
Right. I've heard, though, that some people are saying they are running it at a loss, or it's a bit complicated because, like, pretty sure Anthropic's probably running some percentage of accounts on the $200 plan at a loss, right?
Sure.
But like, is API pricing at cost or below? And then how do you factor in like training and stuff? So
yeah,
I don't know.
My personal take is that inference itself, just looked at in the myopic view of just inference, it makes a lot of money. But you also then, once you zoom out, now you start saying hardware and all the incidental stuff around it probably still makes money. But then when you zoom out to say like, every time you release a model, you defunct your previous model. That has a very large burden. And they keep on not making money and needing to raise more money. So I have a sneaking suspicion that part of it is very hard to make money in the current state. All right.
Well, OpenAI is like publicly like losing money, right? But is Anthropic also negative?
They just had another big raise as well. So okay. I'm assuming, I thought they just raised like $6 billion or okay. something. Could be wrong yeah, yeah. about that. Chat, fact check me. I know OpenAI did $120 billion
yeah, raise. That's so much
so
money.
This is the,
yeah, cash.
This is the yeah. one that I actually was really curious to see. This is the only benchmark that I was super curious to see if they're going to do well. Anthropic Opus 4.6 Max cost approximately $9,000 and got 0.5% score on Arc AGI. So this is like the super test. And humans get into the high 90s. AIs get like GPT 4 high, cost $5,000 and got 0.2%. Gemini 3.1 did 0.4% for $2,200. And so it's like this really difficult. It's a really difficult test for AIs to pass. And so Mythos did not add itself to this one. So this is the reason why I largely think it's more like hype marketing than it is anything. Because to me, this is like a really great indicator, at least into some sort of better model improvement. And so I didn't see it.
Sure.
Let me, can I just give a counterpoint to that though?
Sure. Yeah.
Once again, with the huge disclaimer that I don't do any AI stuff. So this is just off the cuff, but Arc AGI, if I'm not mistaken, is a benchmark specifically to test how well AIs perform on learning completely arbitrary new things that don't exist anywhere in their training data. That's the only thing
yes,
that
it's
made
the
to test.
For so, intelligence of this all.
Exactly. And so the only reason I would want to point out that I don't think that test says very much about this particular security thing is security is not that.
True.
Like, nobody is claiming that Claude Mythos came out and discovered a whole new set of classes of security exploits right. that no one had ever come up with before. What it's saying is that it went and found a bunch of the exact same kinds of zero days that someone like Ed would find if they went and spent a week on that piece of software, right? Like, so they're not claiming that this thing is somehow more intelligent than the predecessor in that way. It's claiming mm-hmm. that it's got better pattern matching and, like, stringing things together to create exploits, right? That process, which is well known. And so I don't think Arc AGI necessarily tells us very much about whether it can do those things, because those things are very well-known tasks that security researchers know how to do, and we kind of know the process that you do to do them, right? So
yes, that's okay.
Point that
I will concede that point most certainly, that the security
yeah.
at least known and obvious security vulnerabilities such as use after freeze and all the fun stuff, like the stuff that happened in FFmpeg with jumping ahead somewhere in the buffer based on
yeah
these
things are very common kinds of bugs. They're
yeah,
they're not like unusual. The things that they've talked about are like very, very standard, and so that seems like a more plausible claim. Like, hey, we just were able to scale up the sort of security checking that a security researcher would do. It can do that thing and find, you know, potential places for that. A lot
yeah,
more plausible
thing,
than AGI.
Yeah. The thing too, for I feel like for the security side of it, as opposed to constructing a product or a new product or like building a feature where you have to get like in some ways all the things right. For a security thing, I only need to find one of the things that are wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is like that's a much like you can test a bunch of the scenarios, like you're saying, Casey, that already exist. And I only need one thing to be wrong in the program for then me to be able to take control of it.
Well, and
right?
it's combinatorial, right? Like a lot of what right. security research is doing is like, A, it's pattern matching for these kinds of mm-hmm. bugs. And then yeah. B, mm-hmm. going like, okay, if I did this one followed by this one, would that produce an exploit? What if I did in the opposite right. order? What if I did this one and then that one? Okay, what if I did yeah. this one right? And again, these are things computers are good at. Like that, it's not.
They are.
You don't have to believe in some kind of a weird, like supernatural, like AGI achieved internally Sam Altman nonsense to believe that this is something a computer could do. It's much more plausible, if anything, than some of the other claims. So that's why yeah. I would like say I'm not that like when I saw this, I wasn't like that's got to be false. I was like, okay, yeah, I could believe that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Most of vuln research is like, you know, take a function that gives user input, like define your threat model, and then do source to sync analysis on some vulnerable function or failure to gate a function on like a length check, and like, does user data get there? Bug confirmed. And like, yeah, that's literally just pattern matching that we've solved a lot of the times previously with like satisfiability solvers, right? Like anger and like Z3, like take the graph of a function, turn it into a math problem. Can you solve the math problem? Cool, bug confirmed. Well, now with AI, it's just like that process of doing source to sync on like text it can do incredibly fast, right? It's very good. Now, obviously, because it's stochastic, it creates a lot of false positives. But if we can figure out a way to reduce the false positives or automate the validation of those false positives, and then yeah, it's crazy. And I think what
have they thought about asking Mythos?
What's that?
Have they thought about asking Mythos?
I know. Come on, man. Can you just no mistakes, please? The thing that Mythos is set apart differently, according to the Anthropic report, is its ability to chain together primitives. Right. So the scary part from like a cybercrime perspective is like you have gadget A that gives you an arbitrary read and gadget B that gives you an arbitrary write. Okay, like those two separate things are like not super important if they're not used together well. What Mythos was able to do is out of 100 tests, I think it's like 83% of the time, find exploit primitives in a vulnerable code base and chain them together to get RCE, right? That's the scary part, because then that's true like end-to-end exploit creation for a bad actor. And that's, I think, what scares Anthropic the most. Now, I know there's an argument where like Firefox wasn't in the sandbox for that experiment, so like it doesn't actually matter. But I mean, just apply that process to the sandbox and the same thing applies. You know, it's just, I think, wanted to prove a point that it could do that.
Well, and also, I mean, again, like, as I've said many times, I can't stand AI companies, so I'm not trying to defend them or anything, but I'm just trying to point out how plausible this stuff is to me from a neutral observer standpoint.
Classic Casey, like, look, defending AI companies.
Yeah, I know, right?
I know.
If you think about it, it's like, look, security researchers who do not number that many were already cranking out 0 days at a much too alarming rate for me, right? like, you know, there's a hack every other day, right? It's not like CVEs are piling up like there's no tomorrow. And yeah, not all of them are actually all that bad or whatever, but like, it's not like security researchers were having trouble producing a fair number of critical vulnerabilities, even with the limited resources that they had. So it's also not weird to think that, like, if you had more automation, you would find a lot more of them. It doesn't, like, there's clearly just a lot of bugs, guys. Like, there's a lot of freaking bugs. And it just doesn't seem that unusual that if you have more sophisticated pattern matching, more sophisticated combinatorial checking, where the security researcher doesn't have to spend a lot of time setting up the tool because it can just kind of ingest the code and it knows what roughly what it means. Yeah, I mean, their rate's going to increase. If nothing else, existing security teams' rates of finding exploits, it has to. I mean, it just has to. Unless this thing is just a complete pile of crap. It's gotta.
The other thing too we've been seeing from each like new generation of model is that they're getting, at least from my experience and what I'm reading from people and everything, they're getting better at calling other tools. Mm-hmm. So like they call out to stuff more regularly.
Right, yeah.
And they can pay attention for longer.
Right, like, mm-hmm. like recompile things, this code and see, you know, make this exploit and run it against this thing or whatever, right? Like those are all things that if you automate them, a security researcher gets much faster at finding bugs because right. they're not having to set up the tooling themselves to like go work on this exploit. Like whatever those steps were, they don't have to do them anymore, right?
Right. So then if you're like, oh, now it can run instead of like I have to prompt it at every stage for right. the next thing to now do is know. I can give it 10 rough things, say try a bunch of combinations of these, and then it runs for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're just like a lot. It's literally like, and in my mind, some of it is like, yeah, well, we already know fuzzers exist. Like we use them all the time and they're good. Right. It's like in some ways almost like.
Yeah, it's like fuzzer. It's like fuzzer squared. Right. It's like a thing now that can like target the fuzzing at things specifically so that
fuzzer two
things that would be very hard for stochastic testing to catch. Because when you have stochastic testing and you have to chain two things together, you're never going to randomly pick the two things that would have to happen for them to work.
Right.
Here is a thing that can like target that specifically and go like, oh, I think combine these two things would be a problem. Let me fuzz that specific path. Oh, yep, I got it. Right.
Like, that's what gets crazy is like you just have the AI write the fuzzer. And then like if you can automate that process, you win a lot of the time. It's pretty amazing. I do have to go, though. I have a meeting in 3 minutes, so I gotta rip.
Well, hopefully you get Mythos access. Congrats.
Yeah, that'd be neat. No, it's not going to happen.
Come on, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Give him Mythos access.
Come on, Dario.
Thanks, Ed.
Bye.
Thanks, Ed.
Bye.
Have a good one, man.
I like you guys, but it looks like it's the end of our show, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, hey,
so true.
You.
All right.
Thank you, everybody. I would just like to say that Casey and TJ and obviously Timu Casey that just left, commonly known as Low Level Learning. You guys, you know, you make the show magic. And now I'm just gonna go about being lonely again. Kind of sad.
Oh, Prime.
I knew that was coming. I thought I was gonna get booed. But I just assumed something's gonna happen. All right. The good news is that you can enjoy full episodes of the stand up now on YouTube. Awesome. If you go to the Stand Up Pod Full, which I'm gonna try to rename. Hopefully at some point we're trying to work some things out to get it a better name. But right now,
YouTube.
Am I right?
If you go to the website, if you go to our website, will it have links to these?
Yeah, it will.
Okay,
it will, and it'll have it spelled out. We'll make it more clear once we figure everything out. Over the next week, maybe by the time you're listening to this on YouTube, we're gonna upload all of the backlog to that channel as well.
Yeah, awesome.
So we should have every episode on YouTube in one spot, very easy to see, etc. Obviously, you always can, you know, RSS. Download the audio directly. Yeah. Don't press the red button on that site, of course.
Teach, what is that web address that people should go to?
The StandUpPod.
Yes, go to StandUpPod.com. All the links will be there. All the episodes will be there. You want YouTube. You want Spotify. You want downloads.
Yep.
You want RSS. You got it. The StandUpPod.com, ladies and gentlemen.
Check this out. I'm just going to do something for the audience. Look at this. If you go here, you click Trash Made a Black Mirror app, you can go and you can listen to it right on the website. You can have all the nice information right here. You can download Trash's app right there. You can go in here.
We don't even charge you
anything. You can play on Spotify. Yeah. You can download and just have personally for you to do whatever you do. That's for you.
Now that we're – and then I'll make it so it links to the YouTube there later as well, now that we're going to have a dedicated YouTube channel for that too. So for all of you out there, you know.
The AI companies claim that you're going to get UBI, but we're actually giving you Universal Basic Podcast. You just get it.
UBP.
For free. UBP.
UBP. You know
UBP.
Me.
Yeah. UBP.
Yeah.
I was going to say – well, I don't know what I was going to say. That's fine. We should just
– We should just end this episode.
Stick a fork in it, guys. It's done.
Yep. All right, thanks.
Good seeing you, everybody.
Casey, thanks again. YouTube, thanks again. Whatever your name is, Teej. You're pretty neat.
Boot up the day. Vibe coating. Errors on my screen. Terminal coffee. And hand. Living.